Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic commemorates the assassins of high-ranking Nazi official Reinhard Heydrich. The lower house of parliament has approved new rules for cyber security. And both the top Czech male and female tennis players, Tomáš Berdych and Petra Kvitová, have been seeded sixth at Wimbledon. Top Czech officials, including President Miloš Zeman, veterans and members of the public, have commemorated the British-trained commandos who assassinated high-ranking Nazi official Reinhard Heydrich. Wednesday marks the 72nd anniversary of their death. Jan Kubiš and Josef Valčík, along with five other soldiers parachuted into Bohemia, took their own lives after having been cornered by Nazi forces in a Prague church 3 weeks after the assassination. Speaking at the ceremony at the church, Defense Minister Martin Stropnický said the Czech Republic owed its existence to heroes like them. The lower house of the Czech Parliament on Wednesday approved new guidelines for countering cybernetic attacks. The bill, the first of its kind to be passed by the lower house, should streamline cooperation between the public and private sectors and establish a coordinating agency to ensure fast response to the attacks. The legislation will also require telecommunication providers to report security incidents that occur in their networks and to allow the country's National Security Authority to declare a state of cyber emergency. The bill is yet to be debated in the Senate. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka says that the Ministry of Justice, Helena Válková, has one last chance to prove she is capable of doing her job. The Social Democrat Prime Minister made the comment on Tuesday evening after Ms. Válková, appointed by the ANO party, dismissed the Deputy Justice Minister for Prisons, Pavel Stern, a Social Democrats appointee, over his handling of a contract to buy electronic tags. Mr. Sobotka said that if the minister's performance did not improve, she would have to go. Ms. Valková's disputes with subordinates have been in the news since Hanna Marvanová quit as first deputy justice minister in early June. Czech doctors last year registered 424 cases of invasive pneumococcal infections, the highest number in 3 years, according to figures by the Czech Institute for Public Health, released on Wednesday. 69 people died of the infection last year. Experts say the rise has been caused by low immunization levels. In Prague, immunization levels in children have fallen below 50%. The sharpest increase has been registered with the 19A serotype, which was last year contracted by 27 people, including four babies of up to 11 months of age. The founder of pediatric oncology in then Czechoslovakia, Professor Josef Koutecký, received on Wednesday the Purkyně Award from the Czech Medical Association in recognition of his lifetime work. Professor Koutecký founded the discipline in 1964. In 1978, he established the Department of Pediatric Oncology at Prague's Motol Hospital, the first of its kind in the country, which played a crucial role in raising survival rates of children cancer patients to the current 80%. At Wednesday's ceremony, Professor Koutecký said he was humbled to be awarded the prize that has been handed out since 1962. And in sports, both the top Czech male and female tennis players, Tomáš Berdych and Petra Kvitová, have been seeded sixth at the Wimbledon Championships, which begin on the 23rd of June. The seeding equals their places in the ATP and WTA rankings, respectively. Lucie Šafářová, meanwhile, will be seeded 23rd and Klára Koukalová 31st at the Grand Slam tournament. In the Wimbledon doubles, Czech Republic's Radek Štěpánek and India's Leander Paes will be fifth seed, while Czech Květa Peškejová, along with Slovenia's Katarina Srabotnik, will be third seed. And Czech athlete Vítězslav Veselý came first in the javelin at the Golden Spike meeting in Ostrava on Tuesday evening. Veselý's throw of 87.38 meters was the second longest in the world this year. U.S. sprinter Justin Gatlin, the best-known name this year at the Czech Republic's biggest meeting, won the 100 meters in a time of 9.86 seconds. Olympic champion Barbora Špotáková has been forced to pull out of the women's javelin due to health problems. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The end of the week should be mostly clear, with some cloudy spots, occasional rain showers, and daytime highs ranging between 18 and 24 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's show: a bronze-winged lion is unveiled in Prague to commemorate the Czechoslovak airman who served in the RAF. Czech scientists have developed a new vaccine against Lyme disease. And we look at efforts to boost trade, investment, and tourism with China. That's all ahead. On Tuesday, a small park in the center of Prague was the site of the ceremonial unveiling of a commemorative statue honoring the contribution of Czech pilots during World War II. Despite being the second World War II monument in this tiny park, and despite the fact that the National Heritage Institute is at odds with Prague 1 authorities over the bronze lion, a major ceremonial event marked its unveiling, attended by veterans, members of the military, and also Winston Churchill's grandson. Dominic Yun was there and filed this report.
I'm standing in a small park in Klarov, in the center of historic Prague's Malá Strana. I'm standing right in front of a statue, which has currently been wrapped up for the most part in a green cotton cloth. You can just see the feet of a lion at the bottom, protruding from the bottom. But what is very prominent is a plaque which says, "This monument is an expression of the British community's lasting gratitude to the 2,500 Czechoslovak airmen who served with the Royal Air Force between 1940 and 1945 for the freedom of Europe. Many were subsequently persecuted by the communist regime in Czechoslovakia. It is a gift to the Czech and Slovak peoples from the British community living and working in the Czech and Slovak republics." The bronze statue is of a winged lion, about 2 meters across. It is by the British sculptor Colin Spofforth, and it was paid for, at a cost of about £100,000, by the British communities living in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And it's meant as a symbol of appreciation by the British for the help provided by Czech and Slovak airmen flying in the RAF during World War II. Those are the sounds of Spitfires flying over Prague. And I'm joined now by Josef Horák, a British descendant of a Czech RAF officer from Lidice, who served between 1940 and 1945.
After the Germans took over Czechoslovak, he escaped and via France ended up in Britain and joined the RAF. Started off as a rear gunner, then a navigator, then a pilot.
So what brings you here today, and what is the import, what is the significance for you of an event like this?
I think it's very significant. I think a large proportion of the RAF were, if you like, foreigners, Poles, Czechs, New Zealanders, Australians, Canadians. I mean, I think it gets little or no recognition. But and so anything like this, I think it's a good thing.
My name is Josef, called Joe Bochian, and I'm from the Civic Association Czech Spitfire Club. And me and my friends, we've got uniforms which wear our pilots during Second World War in Great Britain in the RAF.
So I can tell, yes, I'm looking at you, and there's a group of about 5 of you, and you're dressed in uniforms that were worn by the RAF in World War II. They're blue, they're very smart
blue,
looking.
Yeah, blue-grey standard type. My pattern is officer's one, and these my colleagues are on other ranks.
Veterans, ministers, Mr. Speaker, Chief of Defence Staff, Her Majesty's Ambassador, ladies and gentlemen, as Czech people know only too well, freedom and sovereignty are most valued when they are absent. Arguably, Europe's freedom was most endangered by Nazi ambition.
And so now the grandson of Winston Churchill is escorting a group of several veterans who are able still to stand towards the memorial, and they will now pull on a rope, and there it goes. And so Mr. Nicholas Soames pulls the veterans salute, the audience claps, and a copper statue of a winged Czech lion staring down, framed by Prague Castle, is unveiled.
Dominic Yoon with that report on a bronze lion unveiled in Prague commemorating the sacrifice of Czechoslovak airmen during World War II. They served in the RAF. If you'd like to comment on that story, please write to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz. In other news, Czech scientists have developed a new vaccine against Lyme disease. Presenting their breakthrough on Tuesday, the researchers said the vaccine against the tick-borne illness was ready to use on animals and will hopefully be available for the treatment of humans in the future. Ian Willoughby reports.
To date, the world has seen only one vaccine against Lyme disease, a bacterial illness that can affect the joints, heart and central nervous system if untreated. However, the US-produced drug faced legal challenges and was withdrawn in 2002. Now a team of Czech scientists has developed a new vaccine against the tick-borne disease, in collaboration with Moravian pharmaceutical company BioVeta. Among them is Jaroslav Turánek of Brno's Veterinary Research Institute.
So far, the vaccine has proven the possibility of application in the veterinary sphere, meaning dogs, cats and horses. But it has been created in such a way as to be also possible to use on humans. It's not a wholesale vaccine like current veterinary vaccines, but it is a recombinant vaccine. This means it is far safer and with a lower risk of side effects for people.
After 4 years of work, the scientists are convinced the vaccine is ready for use on animals and have applied for a patent. BioVeta is hoping to have it on the veterinary market around 4 years from now. However, Jaroslav Turánek says there is still some work to do before it can go on sale for people.
At present, we are doing the first tests on human cells in vitro, where we test the safety component of the vaccine. The first experiments show that it works, but so far they are only in vitro experiments.
All going well, BioVeta hopes to be able to make the vaccine available for humans in about 6 years' time.
Ian Willoughby there reporting on advances by Czech scientists in developing a new vaccine against Lyme disease. So hope there. Certainly that's a very interesting development. We turn now, though, to today's main feature. The Czech Republic is looking to expand cooperation with China. This following a recent reset of relations with that country. 2 months after a groundbreaking trip to Beijing by the Czech foreign minister, the Minister of Industry and Trade, Jan Mládek, has just visited himself in an effort to boost trade, investment and tourism links between the two countries. Jan Richter reports in this edition of Marketplace.
Minister Jan Mládek visited several Chinese provinces and cities during his week-long trip, including Shanghai, Ningbo and Beijing. He was joined by a large business delegation for the trip, which concluded on Saturday. Mr. Mládek says his visit was a breakthrough in the relations between China and the Czech Republic.
I had many meetings with the ministers of central Chinese government. I was speaking with the head of China Investment Company, what is China sovereign fund, and with two governors and three mayors of large Chinese city. My trip was supposed to be breakthrough in Czech-Chinese relations because they have been frozen after 2006 when right-wing government came to the power of the Czech Republic, and we are now committed to change Czech-China relations.
Mr. Mladek's visit came at a time of a reset in relations between the two countries. In April, Lubomír Zaorálek became the first Czech foreign minister to visit China in 15 years. He told Chinese officials in Beijing the Czech Republic was ready to boost mutual relations and also signaled a move away from a previous Czech focus on human rights. Indeed, in a joint statement with his Chinese counterpart Wang Yi, Minister Tsar Alek said the Czech Republic respected China's territorial integrity and did not support Tibetan independence. Mr. Tsar Alek's gesture provoked an outcry from several Czech opposition politicians and some NGOs which accused him of having traded human rights for business. But the shift in approach does seem to have borne fruit, and Minister Mladek now says mutual ties can expand in several areas.
This is great, where we are, where we would like to decrease our deficit with China. We would like to move forward with foreign direct investment, meaning both ways, because on one hand, they are the Czech companies operating in China. On the other hand, we would like to see more Chinese investment in the Czech Republic. And last but not least, we have been discussing the development of tourism and also direct air connection from Prague to China, either from Prague to Beijing or from Prague to Shanghai. And my feeling was that we are moving forward.
China is the Czech Republic's fourth largest business partner, and the volume of mutual trade has increased threefold since 2005 to about $20 billion a year. However, the volume of Czech exports, mainly machinery, only reached $1.7 billion in 2013, which is something the Czech government would like to change. Industry and Trade Minister Jan Mládek believes that one area where Czech firms could be successful is aviation.
With me were a few people from aircraft industries, and they hope that there is a new market created, because China is moving from military control of aviation to civil control of aviation. What was the process we have been undergoing recently? So we can pass experience, we can deliver know-how how to operate this civil control of small plane flight, and we can also train the pilot and to sell small airplanes, because the Czech Republic is an important producer of small airplanes.
The warm-up in Czech-Chinese relations is set to continue with visits of top Czech officials, President Miloš Zeman and Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, to Beijing, scheduled for later this year. Czech firms, meanwhile, are now looking to capitalize on the government's efforts. On Tuesday, representatives of several dozen firms attended a seminar entitled Doing Business with China, organized by the Euro magazine and the Czech branch of the HSBC Bank. Its CEO, Michael Hordley, spent 4 years working for the bank in China before taking over the Czech branch. I asked him what opportunities he saw for Czech firms in the rapidly developing Chinese market.
Clearly, China is undergoing a massive stage of reform right now. The new government's initiatives are largely focused around supporting urbanization, green tech, value add in the manufacturing chain rather than basic manufacturing, and an equalization from east to west of the development. So for Czech exporters looking to deal with China, engineering, auto, value add manufacturing processes and machinery associated with that should be well received by the Chinese.
Mm. Well, we heard from one of your co-panelists, Mr. Vechtele, that, you know, think that Czech companies or any foreign companies, for that matter, can play any larger part in the urbanization and the construction of railways and roads and subways is an illusion, because these are the sectors that the Chinese themselves are very strong in. Don't Czech companies or any companies wanting to work in China need to find much more specialized sort of niche?
I agree, particularly when it comes to high-speed rail. You know, the Chinese have the longest high-speed rail network in the world, despite the fact that their rail network in a total is somewhat underdeveloped in comparison to, say, the US. So they clearly have a lot of high-speed rail expertise and therefore would probably be less reliant on Western manufacturers. However, certain parts and certain stages of the supply chain may require specialist engineering skills that can be found in this part of the world. Likewise, there will be other examples of infrastructure-related development where Western companies have an expertise. I draw a parallel with some of the water or waste management companies, the French industrials, that are perhaps active in joint ventures in China that way. So it's really about doing the research, understanding what the key strengths of your business are, and then delivering that proposition in articulating it in such a way that makes it aligned with the core values and the benefit to the underlying Chinese economy that your business can bring.
One Czech company that has been successfully operating in China is Linet, a leading manufacturer of hospital beds worldwide. The firm's director, Tomáš Kolář, shared his experiences at the seminar.
China is really demanding market that only vendors who has a success in States or in Western Europe have a chance to survive in China. This is the first topic I would highlight. The next, we are doing business in medical devices, and there is very high protection in China. I would say a barrier regarding to registration of medical devices imported to China. There is a big disbalance what we have to do to register the product compared to Chinese companies. In numbers, registration of medical device which we import take us usually 3 years, and registration of the product which is made by Chinese takes usually 6 months. This is the disbalance which really make an obstacle to import to China. On the other side, there is a great opportunity because there is a high demand to high level and high tech medical devices, especially in A hospitals, and therefore still the business in China is very attractive for us.
How about the intellectual property issues? We've heard that the Chinese government is trying to improve the situation. Your products, of course, are prone or sensitive to these kind of things. What is your experience?
Yeah, this has been and this is still a big issue in China, intellectual property. I would say two different views. First is copying of products. We have many copies of our products, and in fact Chinese, they don't care so much. Yeah, and it's very difficult to fight against, almost impossible. But other point is that China established their own system of IP, and they are protecting solutions of us. Yeah, then it can happen that the company comes to China with their own protected products, but protected in Europe and protected in US, but these solutions are already protected in China by somebody other. Yeah, and this is a growing difficulty as well.
You and your colleagues mentioned the importance, or the crucial importance, when doing business in China of interpersonal relations. Basically, you need to establish relations with your partners in China. Does this work on the political level as well? We recently, of course, saw the visit by the Czech Foreign Minister, Mr. Zaorálek, to China. Does this have any effect on your business? Does it help, or how do you see that?
First, I wouldn't say political, I would say governmental, because Chinese, they don't care if somebody is communist or social democrat or conservative or liberal or whoever, but they really relate to governmental relationship. Yeah, this is really big privileges everybody who comes together with the governmental delegation, meeting another governmental delegation in China. It really gives the high level to this delegation. On the other side, in China, I believe that a lot of our partners have good contacts to local politicians or to government politicians, but in fact, frankly speaking, politics as they are, as we understand, don't make a big sense in China. They are more pragmatic, much more pragmatic.
So whether the Czech Prime Minister or Czech President even receives the Dalai Lama, for instance, in Prague, does this affect, the way your opportunities, for instance, in China?
Always, this affects a lot. Yeah, and then we don't need to speak only about Dalai Lama, which is Chinese trouble or Chinese they have the trouble with. But we have another bad story, 1 week old, also in Saudi Arabia. Then we, in top places, very unsensitively been speaking about Saudis or about Islam and about Muslims, and it has really strong effect, bad effect to our business in Saudi. Yeah, then I think we should be very balanced and we should be very sensitive to foreign cultures because there is a direct impact to business, very direct and very quick.
You've been listening to Marketplace with Jan Richter. That was Tomáš Koláš, the director of Linet there, a leading manufacturer of hospital beds, ending that report. A quick reminder, you'll find many more news items, features and stories at our website. The address to visit is radio.cz. Also take part in discussion on Facebook or sign up for Twitter to get the very latest from Prague and the rest of the Czech Republic. I'm Jan Velinker. For myself and all of us here at the station, we want to thank you for joining us this day, and join us again soon. Bye-bye.